Welcome to The Higher Edge, a podcast for the brightest minds in higher education to hear from the change makers and rule breakers that are driving meaningful, impactful change for colleges and universities across the country. From improving operations to supporting student success, these are the stories that give you the higher edge. And now, your host, Brendan Aldridge.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to The Higher Edge. I'm Brendan Aldridge, and I'm here today with Jessica Howard, president of Chemeketa Community College in Salem, Oregon, which is located in the heart of Oregon's Willamette Valley, an agricultural paradise and one of the premier wine-growing regions in the world. In fact, it's home to more than 700 wineries. It's an institution that also in 2017 received a federally designated recognition as a Hispanic-serving institution as defined by the Higher Education Act. Chemeketa, which means gathering place in the local Native American language of the Kalapuya, is a more than appropriate name for this incredible institution that not only brings its community together, but as we'll see, continues to innovate in some pretty amazing ways to help keep everyone moving forward. Jessica, thanks for coming onto the program and welcome to The Higher Edge.
Thank you so much, Brendan.
Jessica, you and the team at Chemeketa are doing some really interesting work that we'll talk about shortly. But let's start with getting to know a little bit more about you. What was your path to becoming a college president?
You know, growing up, I was very privileged to have parents who knew the power and importance of education, cultivating in me a love of learning and an absolute faith that as long as I followed my interests, played to my strengths, and pursued as much education as possible, even when and especially when the direction was unclear, and it often was, I would have a life more fulfilling than I could ever have imagined. And that is what happened for me. I went to Rice University as a French horn performance major, directed musical theater. I know that's perhaps a little unusual for a community college administrator.
But fantastic, an arts background.
Yes, and I ended up attending NYU and achieved my doctorate in performance studies. I studied performance as well as was a performer. Fantastic. My dream all along was to become a tenured faculty member and have summers off, and that never happened, at least the summers off piece. I did begin as an adjunct instructor at a couple of higher educational institutions in San Antonio, Texas, which is where I grew up, and ultimately I became a full-time faculty member at San Antonio Community College in San Antonio and a department chair. And then one day I received a surprise call from the president asking me to be a college vice president. And after 4 years in a VP role, I came to Portland, Oregon as a campus president associated with Portland Community College's Southeast campus. And in 2019, I became president and CEO of Chemeketa, which is not that far from Portland and a wonderful place to be.
Fantastic. And I love how your background in the arts is really kind of shaped, as I understand from our conversation, the way that you've approached your career. Is it fair to say that it continues to influence your style of leadership?
Without a doubt. I have actually been quite surprised that more folks with performance backgrounds, especially those in music, aren't represented in the community college leadership ranks. Maybe they're all around me, but I haven't seen them. The reason that I think this is significant is that being able to communicate and connect authentically and dynamically and in ways that are focused on others and to manage the anxiety that can sometimes come from that. And also to understand that building community and culture involves performance. You know, I think this is a very useful understanding and skill, particularly with the range of constituent and stakeholder groups that are associated with a community college, not just faculty and staff, and that's a lot right there. But think about it, business and industry folks, the nonprofit community, elected officials, government agencies, colleagues across the educational ecosystem, one's own board members, obviously, and of course, those that constitute our True North students. So I'm very focused on people, and it's a foundation of how I lead and try to grow as a leader.
No, that's great. And you and I have even talked about how, very similarly, I've got a background in theater arts with my degree. Which sometimes people find really interesting, knowing that I've then built a career in IT and institutional research and analytics. But just like you're talking about, it really does create that different kind of focus about not just the technology for technology's sake or the data for data's sake, but how are we really connecting the pieces here so that we can move everything forward a little further.
Couldn't agree more.
Now, I've worked within some systems where there were folks that believed that, you know, individual institutions didn't have their own unique culture and presence. Now, of course, it doesn't take much time on campus to realize the reality of that, which is that every institution really does have a unique spirit, a community, and a presence that's really embedded into the fabric of its being. Now, how would you describe what is unique about Chemeketa?
So Chemeketa serves a 2,600 square mile district, so 3+ counties. It's a large area, but the largest city is Salem, the capital of Oregon. And so you have a real small town, kind of very relationship-driven, almost familial culture at the college. And I think it's really, really important to folks in this kind of an environment to be really, really committed to the college. They don't want you to just be stepping through en route to another career somewhere. They want you to be here and be part of them. And that old concept of 6 degrees of separation, I think it's far fewer than 6 here. I mean, I myself have actually danced with the governor and in go-go boots, no less. Only in Oregon, and with the close networks we have, would that have ever happened? So I just think that it's a very warm culture, and of course it presents its challenges and opportunities like any culture does. But I think you need to be a part of it in order to be part of how it could be different or change or move with the times.
Well, and I think that's great. And we've talked about how Chemeketa means gathering place, but also you look at it as a, sort of a place of peace or you are welcome here.
No one is a stranger here. And I would say that, you know, even given kind of this moment in our national reality and discourse where we're incredibly polarized, and I would call Salem a sort of purplish region, even though there's definitely some disagreements around some thoughts, everybody who lives here loves living here. Part of it is that it's so incredibly beautiful. It's kind of an embarrassment of riches here. And, you know, an hour away is the coast, an hour away is the snow-capped mountain. It's an incredible place to live, and everyone loves it, and that's a tremendous common thread.
Well, and I hope in some ways that we're kind of moving towards something that is really more about change. I actually just saw an article on CNN earlier today that was talking about the current political climate and how polarized things are, and was talking about how in a survey that they had done recently, they found 6 out of 10 people of both parties would be more preferred to see a candidate that was not one of the incumbents running in the next election.
Well, and I think there is a real opportunity in being in a region like this, because we all work with people who we may not vote like. And so what does it mean to find the way forward? And I think leaders in all kinds of organizations can play a real role in helping us navigate that.
Now, one of the things that I alluded to in the introduction, which I'd love to talk about next, is this idea of innovation. And you and I have talked about the importance of innovation. Whether that's the kind of innovation that takes place every day across the nation's community colleges through the research that's being conducted at the larger R1 institutions. So tell us just a little bit, how much of a driver is innovation to higher education and then specifically to you and the team at Chemeketa?
I would say certainly in this moment in time, it is extraordinarily important. And of course, higher education is a very, very old model, hundreds of years old, and we are still, I think, calcified into certain patterns of organizing
Sure.
and thinking based on kind of a department-by-department understanding of what a comprehensive education is and the roles involved in providing it. Given the rate of change, given the developments around artificial intelligence and automation in particular, which the pandemic accelerated, if one is not innovative, one is not going to be as meaningful as one would want to be. And I think that the stakes are very high. So I think it is extremely important. I think particularly when we think about how to enhance and improve the student experience, I think it's absolutely critical, and how we understand a changing younger population.
Hey, for everyone listening, hang tight. We're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsor, and we'll be back in just 1 minute.
All colleges and universities face challenges in advancing the mission of higher education. Some problems impeding your progress are known, but others are invisible, hidden, impossible to address. Invoke Learning changes everything. Built on revolutionary technology that's light years beyond anything you've seen yet, our leading-edge data platforms and deep analytic solutions give institutions of higher education some real-life superpowers to support the entire student journey. Ask questions you never imagined could be answered. Get unprecedented insights that lead to mission-impacting action. What's holding you back today from taking your mission further tomorrow? Find out and discover just how far you can go. Contact Invoke Learning at www.invokelearning.com. Invoke Learning. This is education empowered.
Thanks so much for listening to our sponsor. Let's get back to the show. And you were talking about how calcified sometimes we perceive institutions to be. But yet we had, 4,000 colleges and universities across the country that when the pandemic hit and we suddenly were faced with an unbelievable proposition of having to send every student home, that almost overnight or sometimes over a weekend, we had all of these thousands of institutions switching to a completely online format, which sort of goes against that perception of being calcified when we really were much more prepared than people sometimes give us credit for making even very dramatic changes.
It's absolutely true. And I think it speaks to the potential that we have to be more innovative than maybe we think we are ready for. At Chemeketa, we transitioned over 1,600 courses in a 2 to 3 week period. And we were really building the plane while flying it, just like others were. And I remember talking to faculty who said, this is not something I ever intended to do. And yet, what were the options? So necessity is the mother of invention. And I was really very, very excited to see what we were able to do. And I think it actually has moved us all forward, what we're able to do remotely, what we're able to do in not just instruction, but student affairs, is really incredible. We have much, much greater response and attendance rates for advising appointments, counseling appointments. Being able to offer the flexible modalities is just really been a game changer.
Which really creates a completely different conversation that I don't think 3 years ago any of us would have realized we'd be having. But it's this idea that even as we start to return to more of an on-presence and on-campus, I should say, situation, that online is still going to remain a pretty big portion of what we do, which creates this problem of saying, hey, I use a certain learning management system to present my online courses, which is used by hundreds, if not thousands, of other colleges across the country. In a world where students might not be physically visiting the campuses any longer, how do we as a college really differentiate ourselves within this online platform to create something that is unique and serves our students?
Well, and this is where one of the questions, I think, is unanswered. For community colleges, we also realize that there are some students who do not do well in this remote modality. And also, there are certain courses that they are unwilling to take or that they have more challenges taking in just in terms of the subject matter, right? I spoke once with Uri Treisman down at the Dana Center in Texas, and he talked about three populations that did well with developmental math online, or really math in general online. And in his words, it was high flyers directly from high school, veterans, and older women for whom failing in front of colleagues in a classroom after so many years was not an option. And so they chose the online. Extremely self-disciplined, concrete, kind of discrete groups. This was pre-pandemic. So I think what we're trying to figure out is where must we be face-to-face or hybrid, or where does the modality kind of connect to the reality that the student brings forward.
And being able to, especially when we're talking about our different student communities, and being able to understand the difference between equity and equality,
exactly.
For example.
Exactly.
Well, and then on that same vein, there are some things that I know Chemeketa is doing. And one of the examples I'd love to have you talk about is about Chemeketa Press.
Yes, this is a really interesting part of the college and something that really drew me to want to be associated with Chemeketa in my role. Chemeketa Press is the publishing arm of the college, and it's, to my knowledge, the only peer review academic publishing entity associated with a community college in the country. It was initially aimed, of course, at lowering the price of textbooks And the idea was no textbook would be more than $40. And we,
wow.
Yes, and we aimed the initial efforts at those large gateway type courses. And our first book, Art for Everyone, was a book for our introductory kind of an art appreciation type course. Those books tend to be extremely expensive because of the copyrights associated with the images. And so in the case of this book and with this initial effort by the press, the images were chosen that did not have those kinds of copyright issues, and where there were gaps, faculty created the images in the styles they were trying to represent. Incredibly wonderful
Fantastic.
Book, and we have many more books now. And one of the interesting things about Chemeketa Press is that it's actually, if you walk into the door of the Chemeketa Press, it says, you know, all the things that the Chemeketa Press is trying to do, and the last bullet is revolution.
And so many times when you think about students that are going to school, and it's the tuition, the fees, those are one thing, but then when you get to books, and sometimes these books are hundreds of dollars for a given book that'll be used for a term.
Right.
And certainly there's an entire market for the resale of books and things along those lines.
Right.
But what a fantastic approach that you've taken with this idea of creating textbooks that could actually be sold at a more reasonable price for students.
Well, and this is something that our faculty created. This is a faculty-driven process, and it was also not just about lower cost. It was about textbooks that were written for our students. No bombastic speech allowed. That's actually on one of our descriptors around the Chemeketa Press. Students are actually employed to review the books, and then they provide feedback, and we reissue them to get to kind of a more ideal state. And so they're very student-focused. And other colleges are now using these textbooks as well. And it's just a tremendous effort around faculty engagement, faculty development. And it's one of a number of strategies to try to lower the cost of textbooks. But this has just been an extremely vibrant and innovative effort on the part of the college.
And if you were to guess, how much has this saved students, even just Chemeketa students?
Over $5 million.
That's amazing.
Yep.
Absolutely fantastic. Now, and that's just one example of some of the things that you're doing. And the other one that is really something that I think is relatively new, but I think it's also very exciting, is this. We know that the mission of the vast majority of community colleges is, as the name suggests, education for the communities in which they serve. And this often leads to credentials and associate's degrees for students. But you guys are now starting to move beyond that just a little bit.
We are. We're very, very pleased to join 26 other states in being empowered as community colleges to offer the BAS degree, which is a Bachelor of Applied Science. BAS degrees generally are focused on providing kind of hands-on experiences and incorporating job-related skills into the classroom, whereas the BA or the BS tends to have a more theoretical focus. So offering the BAS degree is a huge opportunity for us in Oregon. And Chemeketa was one of two community colleges in the state to come out initially with a BAS degree. And so our BAS will be offered in fall of 2023. And our BAS degree is in leadership and management. And this is really, really exciting. It's not just that we're able to offer a BAS degree that meets a workforce need that's local. It's that it actually upends the long-held distinction between kind of the university track and what I would call a polytechnic track or the career and technical education track, and the stigma associated with the latter. Essentially, to be eligible for this degree, you need to have the two-year Associate of Applied Science degree. So any of our career and technical programs that range from welding and automotive to paramedic and web design and many in between, those folks are, what we've found is that they're out in the workforce, they're advancing in their careers, they're being extremely successful, but at some point they hit a ceiling where they can no longer climb the career ladder because they don't have a bachelor's degree and or they don't have leadership or management experience. So this degree is oriented specifically for that student. They don't have to stop working. And it's just incredibly exciting.
And the degree itself takes advantage of their two-year pathway and then sort of caters to that two-year pathway as part of the program, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. It just stacks right on top. And given the differences in terms of whatever that applied lower division content is. What ends up happening is at the end of the program, there is contextualized learning around the specific discipline from which these students come.
Fantastic. Now, I'd imagine that the higher education landscape in Oregon is not that different from some other states like California, where the 1960 Master Plan for Higher Education gave each of the state systems of public education its own mission and focus. It basically meant to help reduce overlap and competition for students. So this idea of a two-year or a community college system having a bachelor's-type degree program, was it more easily embraced by the four-year institutions in Oregon, or was there some discussion involved?
Well, you are correct, Brendan, that it was not uncontroversial. I will say there is a very rigorous process involved at the state level to ensure that this is an actual need and not simply an example of, and I'll use the university term for this, mission creep. The only real, I think, concern came from the private university area, but we've had tremendous support from our local regional institution, Western Oregon, and this is how it's made manifest. Essentially, if a student gets this Bachelor of Applied Science degree, one full term of that degree will be credited towards Western University's Master's in Organizational Leadership. So we're really pleased with this because it demonstrates how an educational ecosystem should work with this particular option.
Well, and there's this whole area that I know we've never really talked about on the show, but is such a key and important role within all higher education institutions, this idea of articulation. You know, being able to have these agreements where your studies are transferable to other institutions and will contribute or count as credit towards programs that they can continue there.
That's correct. And actually, some states are much more transfer friendly than others. And unfortunately, Oregon is not one of them. We're very anti-system here in Oregon. I think it has something to do with being at the end of the Oregon Trail. But we're all independent entities. And so that means that really we have to forge our own connections with transfer institutions for the benefit of our students, for whom extra time and money can be a real end to their trajectory.
Well, and I love that what you suggested before when you talked about the BAS degree that you're offering at Chemeketa, that it really is something that is not geared towards the traditional four-year university student.
No. Right? No, it is geared for the working adult, and actually anyone over 18 is an adult. But this is for the person who is out in the workplace. And consider this, particularly given the employment climate, we have a lot of employers who will do anything to hang on to the excellent employees that they have. And so we have a lot of employers who are interested in funding their employees to go through this program so that they can hang on to these employees, so they can grow these employees, and so that their companies will be stronger and better for it. And so there is a lot of interest, not just on the part of the students who are potential students, ex-students of Chemeketa who already have that applied degree, that lower division degree, but also on the part of the employers themselves.
Well, and I mentioned that your location right in the heart of the Willamette Valley with all of the winemaking that goes on, and a lot of these are family-run wineries. You know, this is offering the kids of these families who might not necessarily have naturally been inclined to want to go into the family business a chance to really explore and learn how to take those family businesses to another place.
Absolutely. And one of our locations at Chemeketa is a campus called EOLA. It's the Northwest Wine Studies Center, and we offer a viticulture program and also vineyard management. And we have a lot of folks coming in wanting a different kind of career path, a second career, or they want to get into winemaking. And it's its own kind of opportunity. I will also say for the migrant workers, and there are many of them in this area, the next generation is able to conceive of a future in agriculture that's very different from that of their parents because of these programs. So that's a really transformational part of offering this.
Honestly, I love the drive and the passion that you and the team are clearly bringing to the table in the work that you do in the community. Now, you know, one of the things that I enjoy about having guests on the show is to ask if you might have a story to share, something that maybe helped you see something different in your career, maybe something you might help share with our listeners to help give them the higher edge.
You know, when I was a vice president at San Antonio College in Texas, we were trying very hard to promote the value of a community college credential. We wanted to entice and encourage students to complete before they transferred because we knew that their outcomes would be better. And the existing culture was not necessarily promoting that, I think, in part because there was a lot of reverence for the universities nearby. But we knew that it was important for students to get the credential and to graduate. And so we went on this sort of massive graduation campaign. We walked around campus in our robes. We talked about it a lot. And then I realized that actually the best way to demonstrate the value of a community college degree would be for myself to get one. And I already had a PhD at the time, but I decided it would be valuable for me to go back into the classroom and achieve my two-year degree. And so that's what I did. And I used reverse transfer, and I still needed four courses. And so I took one course each semester. So it took me 2 years. And in doing so, I was able to kind of be a secret shopper in my own institution. And I will tell you, that was incredibly valuable because there are things that you forget from being a student. Like, for instance, how impossible it is to hear someone telling you something interesting if you're freezing to death because it's way, way, way too cold in the room. Little things like that. And then being around students, it was really, really amazing. But then I remember the moment when I was officiating the graduation ceremony as the VPAA, and I had on my tam and I had on my big purple robe from NYU, very obvious, very sort of superhero-like, super friend type outfit. It's not subtle.
Right.
And I was doing my job as the chief academic officer, and then at a certain moment, I took off my tam and I went into the line and I put on a mortarboard, went through the whole thing. None of the students knew what I was doing, but anyway, got through, received my degree, took off the mortarboard, put on the tam, and continued on with the ceremony. But it made an impression on others. And I remember my own secretary at the time saying, you know, I never got my associate's degree, and you got it, and you were working, and you managed it, you did it, I can do it too. And that was the whole idea, was to try to give the impression and be able to say, this matters, and to have others see that too.
It's so often that we think about education sometimes as being so linear. You know, classes lead to certificates, a bachelor's degree, a master's, a doctorate. I love that you went back to not only sort of be an example, but to really walk the walk. You know, and it sounds like a fantastic learning experience in its own right. And I love that it inspired some others to do the same in that spirit of lifelong learning, because it wasn't just other students you inspired with this, was it? It was you had other employees.
Exactly. And I actually did put out a challenge to others and said, how many of you who are here, who teach here perhaps, how many of you have never been to a community college? And there are a lot of us. And so I thought it was, nothing would make the point better that we value what we do than to actually be a student ourselves.
So Jessica, really, really very cool. And certainly best wishes. And I would love to hear more, you know, as you continue down the path with the BAS degree program. And maybe you'll come back on the show, you know, in 6 months to a year and tell us a little bit more of some of the stories of the students that have been through the program.
I would love that.
For our listeners, we've been talking to Jessica Howard, president of Chemeketa Community College. Jessica, where can people go more to learn about Chemeketa Community College itself and the programs we've discussed, like the BAS program?
I would say just go right to our website, chemeketa.edu, and it's also a great place to go if you want to connect with me. But the BAS, the programs I've referenced, the Chemeketa Press, you can find it all there.
And if any listeners would like to reach out to Jessica with additional questions or to continue the conversation, feel free to drop her an email at jessica@thehigheredge.com. Jessica, thanks again for coming on and being a guest with us on The Higher Edge. And for everyone listening, I'm Brendan Aldrich, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to The Higher Edge. For more, subscribe to us on your favorite podcast platform, leave us a review if you loved the show, and be sure to connect with Brendan on LinkedIn. Know someone who's making big changes at their higher ed institution that belongs on this podcast? Drop us a line at podcasts@thehigheredge.com. The Higher Edge is sponsored by Invoke Learning in partnership with Westport Studios. Views and opinions expressed by individuals during the podcast are their own. See how Invoke Learning is empowering higher education at invokelearning.com.